He gonna add the plagues that's written in this book to you. And if you take from it, he gonna take your part out of the Lamb's book of life. And one more thing before I close, because I want y'all to know this, because a lot of people don't really understand about blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. Jesus, the Pharisees told Jesus he had a devil and he was doing working miracles by the devil. And Jesus said,
you have been enjoying the Word of Truth broadcast ministry of God's Holy Temple Church of the Lord Jesus Christ with Bishop Willie Perry. You can contact Bishop Willie Perry by writing Word of Truth, P.O. Box 8592, Dallas, Texas, 75339. Services at God's Holy Temple are held Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 o'clock p.m., Saturdays at 10:30 a.m., and Sundays at 10 o'clock a.m. and 7 o'clock p.m. Phone by dialing area code 214-371-7010 or 972-217-1255.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuned into the Deceptions of Satan radio broadcast with Brother Leon Gaspy. Listen now as Brother Gaspy enlightens you about the different ways Satan may deceive us in our walk with Christ.
Good afternoon, this is Brother Gaspy again. Good afternoon, this is Brother Gaspy again. Now, coming today about the deceitful of Satan. Satan, Jesus has a parable here in Matthew chapter 13. I'd like to read it for you and then explain how Satan is so deceitful. Hear ye, Matthew 13, starting at verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside, and he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon when joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and cares of this word, this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he receiveth, he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seeds into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which he also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now, he goes on over to chapter, to the same chapter, verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The enemy, good children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Now, I want to stop right there. See, the reapers are the angels, not us. We are so quick to judge people in the church and say what they used to do and forget about what we used to do. You see, if we can straighten out the man in the mirror, God will deal with our brothers and sisters. We don't know how to deal with them, because like here in the same book of Matthew, back to chapter 7, It says, judge not that you be not judged. We are not qualified to judge one another. And that's why, and last week we was talking about some of the people that's going to be in the kingdom, and the children of the kingdom will be outside the kingdom. Now, that don't mean we're not going to be saved because you're outside the kingdom, but it does mean that you have no reward. And I'll go into that later on it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You'll find about those rewards. Everybody that say God is not God's desire that any should be lost. He wants everybody to be saved. So, but we are so exclusive. Once we get saved, we think ain't nobody else capable of being saved because of the fact that they were so low down in the street and that this, that, and the other, and whatever. No matter how saved you think you are now, you was in something and maybe still in something that does not please God. God is a merciful God. He's an understanding God, and he's a forgiving God. He's patient with us. And just like he's patient with you, why not let him be patient with me too? You know, I'm just like you. I'm your brother. I've done some wrong. I admit I did some wrong, and God's not through with me yet. You know, and he ain't through with you. Cause some of you think that, oh, here I'm on display. God put me on display. God ain't put me on display yet, so I don't claim to be perfect, but I'm working on it. And that's all we all can do. That's why I say the guys in the street that you think are nothing, some of those people are God's chosen people too. You're just like you. He chose you from whatever you was doing. You might not have did the same thing that I did, but you did some things that was wrong. And you never know why a person would do a thing. Just like myself, I've never been a man of violence. Violence was always against me. I never condone violence, but even though I hung around a lot of violent people, that's where you would find me. Wherever there was violence, wherever there was people fighting and going on, that's where mostly where you found me. But I never wanted to hurt anybody. One time, I remember, and I can use this as an example. One time I wanted to kill a man. One time in my life, but I thank God he didn't let me get to that man. Because I would have felt guilty about it because of the fact that this man hit me for no reason at all. This happened in Babenhausen, Germany, when I was in the military. This man hit me in the mouth and knocked my bottom lip almost off. It was hanging by a thread, by the skin. And I happened to have a knife in my pocket, a TL-29. I was working in the wire section, climbing trees, putting up telephone wires. And that knife was sharp, and I got that knife, and I intended to hurt him bad. I wanted to see him bleed. But thank God I had some friends around, somebody, maybe it was God's angel, that somehow they got that knife away from me before I could get to that man. And by the time the police came, and I was bleeding all down on my chest, and they took me to the doctor, sewed it back on, a couple of weeks, I was back, you know, like I was, and I didn't even try to get even with him after that, for some reason. But I thank God for that today, that I did not hurt that man, because it would have given me a criminal record, one thing. And I didn't know why he hit me. He didn't talk to me. If he had talked to me instead of hitting me, maybe we could have resolved the situation, because it was about a lady, and this lady, I wasn't even interested in the woman. I just happened to sit down at the table in a public place. And I was on one side of the table, and she was on the other way, one of these big round tables. And he came up and set his drinks down and claimed he was looking for her to pull the table out. He said, I dropped my lighter. I get up to help him to find the lighter, and I'm looking, trying to help him find the light. I don't know anything. He done hit me in the mouth. So, but I did want to kill him, but I didn't. I didn't even get to put a scratch on him about that. But I use that as an example because I know every action brings a reaction. I reacted the way the average person would have reacted, I think. But thank God that I didn't get to hurt that man. But if we would straighten out the one in the mirror, that man you look at when you get up, take your shave or wash your face or comb your hair, whatever, the one that's looking back at you in the mirror, that's the one you need to straighten out. If you can straighten that one out, then you're doing good. But I say to you, to all of us, Jesus told us not to kill your enemy, but pray for him. And that's kind of hard to pray for a man. He didn't hit you in the mouth and knock your lip off. I don't say I would have prayed for him. The last thing I thought about then was to pray for him, because I didn't know anything about praying then. I intend to pray for him, all right. I intend for his people to be praying for him. Lord, save his soul. But I was intending to do him in on account of that. But then that's neither here nor there. We all come short of the glory of God, according to Romans chapter 3. But I say, like I said last week, I found many decent people in the streets, and I found some decent people in the church, but I kind of wonder about some of them in the church, because the church folks have a way of smiling in your face like that old record that Undisputed Truth had, I think it was, and I know the Temptations did it too. Smiling faces sometimes tell lies. You know, they lie, they tell you, just smile in your face and stab you in the back, patting you on the back and calling your brother. In the meantime, they hate your guts. But one thing I like about street folks, they were honest about, you know, if you had bad blood with somebody, you let them know, hey, man, it don't take much of your sugar to sweeten my coffee. It's best you stay away from me. And you'd avoid those people. And that way, you were at peace with them, as long as they didn't cross your road now. But here we in the church, oh, yes, brother, and everything, brother, brother this and brother that, and really, in the meantime, they're trying to hurt you or trying to set some kind of trap for you. We don't have to do that. That's the deceitfulness of the devil. The devil will cause you to do these kind of things. Now, we, as God's people, we need to learn to love one another. God teaches us. Jesus says, this is one of the main laws that he left for us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. You have to learn to love yourself. If you can't love you, ain't nowhere in the world you can love me. So I have to learn to love myself. And sometimes people get mad with you for that. You know, you walk out the door and it look like you think something of yourself. And you clean yourself up and try to look nice to you. I have to look nice to me. And when I look nice to me, I really don't care what I look like to you. But then you shouldn't be concerned about that, because I can accept you no matter how you look. I can be wearing a three-piece suit and you in blue jeans and T-shirt with grease and grime. I can still shake your hand and sit down and have a conversation with you just like I can the man with the three-piece suit on. Because there's no exceptions. We're all made in the image and likeness of God. And if you're God's child, then you're my brother. If you're a human being, you're my brother. You're my brother in the flesh, but not in the spirit. But you're still my brother, because God made you in his image, and everything is made in his image. We were put here to have dominion over everything but another man. If man would stop trying to dominate other men, then we wouldn't have so many problems. That's the thing, reason we have so many wars, thing. Men trying to die, everybody wants to rule the world. You can't do that. It's never going to happen. Not going to happen until Jesus comes back. He'll come back, and he's going to rule the world. Instead of like I said, about going to heaven. We're not going to heaven. When you die, you're going to be here to reign and rule with Jesus on earth.